Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025. As always, I begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Court Sentencing. Champagne Man Gets 15 Years for Opening Fire at a Funeral. This article is written by Luke Taylor. Luke can be reached by email at ltaylor@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Urbana. A Champaign man has been sentenced to 15 years in prison after he was convicted of charges related to an attempt to shoot a cousin during a 2023 funeral. Lionel Blount Jr., Linell Blount Jr., 31, was initially charged with attempted murder, attempted aggravated discharge of a firearm, and a charge that was then called attempted armed habitual criminal, but has since been renamed to unlawful possession of a firearm by a repeat felony offender. He pleaded guilty in October to the attempted aggravated discharge of a firearm charge and saw the remaining two counts dismissed. At a sentencing hearing Monday, Assistant State's Attorney N.G. Lin highlighted Blount's adult record, which began with a conviction for a crime committed soon after he turned 18 and has seen him in and out of the Illinois Department of Corrections or on parole for many of the years since. She said that in a pre-sentencing interview, Blount was asked about his criminal behavior and showed a lack of insight on his own actions. According to Lin, he said, "I tend to do criminal stuff. Criminal behavior is not a problem for me. I be in the wrong place at the wrong time, but God put me there. I just feel like I'm doing my best." He apparently fired his gun at his cousin during a funeral on September 8, 2023, over an argument about a Facebook post. Witnesses described him firing several shots as the victim ran away. Lin said this was not indicative of him being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Attorneys on both sides spoke about how around 4 months after that 2023 incident, Blount was a victim of gun violence himself, surviving a shot to the head. Lin, that's L-I-N, described him as attempting to inflict the same on his cousin, aiming shots right at eye level. Public defender Elizabeth Pollock highlighted the event as a traumatic incident that left Blount with PTSD, partial vision loss, headaches and altered mental processes. That's his own being shot himself, that is. He was left with bullet fragments in his skull. Pollock also spoke about a cycle of generational trauma, saying that he had indicators of a highly traumatic childhood after apparently being brought into a street gang by his father before the age of 10 and not attending school as a child. Blount spoke briefly on his own behalf, saying he blamed himself for not escaping the cycle and apologizing to the community, the court, his family, his kids, and himself, especially for taking time away from his children by ending up incarcerated. He said that while in jail, he has been working on himself and plans to continue doing so. "I need to become a better person," Blount said. Champaign County Judge Roger Weber ordered the 15-year sentence. Blount's exact number of days of time served has yet to be properly calculated, but will be deducted from that time. Mr. Blount is probably more aware than anyone in this room of the harm of gun violence in our community, Weber said, referring to the time Blount himself had been shot. Weber said the shooting was attributed to issues between various branches of Blount's family that have been characterized as like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Overall, he said that Blount's character and the nature of this incident indicated likelihood of similar incidents in the future, and that it will remain to be seen if he stands by his promises to work to become a better person. The story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you're not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us continue to connect our community. Next up, First Report. Brain for business? Store focused on educational toys and games, looking for new owner. This article is written by Jana Wiersema. She can be reached by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. A family-run shop that sells puzzles, brain teasers, and other learning tools is in the market for a new owner. John, J-O-H-N, Dimit, D-I-M-I-T, the third, owner of Dr. G's Brainworks, is looking for someone to buy the business, which is located at the Marketplace Shopping Center and has been voted the number one educational game store in the News Gazette's People's Choice Awards 3 years in a row. Dr. G's Brainworks was founded by a psychologist and gerontologist, that's gerontologist, Dr. William Gingold, G-I-N-G-O-L-D. We are honored to have carried on what Dr. Gingold, I apologize for any mispronunciation, what he began, Dimit said. As I focus on my full-time role at Parkland College, and our family enters a new chapter, it's the right time to find someone who will continue this mission of brain health and learning through play. His parents, Angie and John Dimit Jr., have also helped with the business, and Angie said the two of them feel like it's time to take a step back from the 24/7 reality of retail, especially since they'll be grandparents soon. The couple also looks forward to retirement and doing some traveling. The store is staying open for the time being, Angie said. It's lease renews in early 2026, and the Dimits plan to make a decision about how to proceed around that time. Dr. G's Brainworks initially opened at Urbana's Lincoln Square Mall in late 2013, and the Champaign Mall location opened the following year. John III has been with the business from the start and became its owner in 2019. Angie described herself and her husband as the supporting cast, with John III being the main owner, subject matter expert, and heart and soul of the business. John Jr. handles the financial side of the business, and Angie takes care of marketing. Interested buyers can email A-N-G-E-L-A, Angela, Dimit, D-I-M-I-T, so Angela Dimit, 891 at gmail.com. The store has always been about joy, creativity, and bringing people together, John III said. We're excited to find the next steward of Dr. G's. And there's a photo provided or taken, by Robin Scholes, R-O-B-I-N, last name Scholes, S-C-H-O-L-Z, for the News Gazette. It's of three people standing. The store is behind them, and in front of them is a table with lots of board games kind of displayed in the front. It reads, from left, John Dimit Jr., John Dimit III, and Angie Dimit stand inside their business, Dr. G's Brainworks, at Champaign's Marketplace Shopping Center. They hope to find someone wanting to take over the store. And that's the large, colorful photo front and center on the front page of the paper. The next headline reads, for Illini tailgaters, no regrets at any time. This article is based out of Champaign. He didn't get sick. His pickup didn't get stuck, and the Illini didn't disappoint. Basically, it was a perfect snowy Saturday for Savoy's Kyle Emkes. That's Kyle, K-Y-L-E, last name Emkes, E-M-K-E-S. He was one of a handful of tailgaters in what normally is a jam-packed Lot 31 to the west of Geese Memorial Stadium. Flurries had started when he dropped off his gear at 7:30 a.m. When he returned to start tailgating at 2 p.m., the weather was frightful. There is no expiration on loyalty, he said. A blizzard can't keep us away. Emkes, a regular at Illini games since 2000, has tailgated in wintry conditions before, but this was different. Joined by family and friends who were visiting from out of town, Emkes went through a truck bed of wood in an effort to avoid frostbite. We've tailgated as long as we can remember, extreme heat, extreme cold, through thick and thin, he said. My family knew I was crazy enough to do it. On Saturday night, he celebrated in the stands as the Illini won 20-13. On Sunday, he successfully retrieved his setup in the mud and snow. On Monday, he went to work. No worse for wear. No regrets at any point in time, he said. We haven't missed a tailgate in forever. And we weren't about to this time. Tell us the cold truth. Do you have a wintry story to share? You can email news@newsgazette.com. There's one photo that accompanies this article, and it's of a man, I think, taking a selfie. He's in a winter coat, orange hat, and behind him is like a tent with people standing, almost like an umbrella, with people standing under it. The caption reads, "Enjoying Lot 31 before Saturday's Illini game, left to right, Kyle Emkes, Vince Emkes, Austin Creek, Josh Creek, Chris Spencer, and Logan Spencer." Some of those are kids. That photo is provided. Now, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Among those diehard tailgaters at Saturday's football game at Geese Memorial Stadium, Illini cheerleaders and their parents who weren't about to call off their final pregame party of the season with food delivered at Grange Grove basically to themselves, the crew carried on in the snow and wind. It was definitely eerie walking up and having to be so silent, U of I coach Stephanie Record said. But we wanted to make sure it was special for the seniors. The cheerleaders tailgate next door to Central Illinois Multimedia Group's set up in Grange Grove. With our pregame party canceled, we made available the giant tent to the Illini, who said having a warm, comfortable space allowed us to share quality time together and celebrate our seniors. Your kindness made the day even more memorable. The fun didn't stop there. The crew of about 40 cheered on the Illini alongside the marching Illini and Illiniettes, who also braved the nasty conditions. The cheerleaders were a bit limited in what they could do. We couldn't lift anyone in the air due to the slippery setting, Record said, but we made it work and ended up having a really good time. That included snow angels instead of push-ups. The 8 seniors who had their banners hung in our tent were introduced and shown on the Jumbotron. I told them you're a part of history, Record said. There's never been a game like this before. And there's a large group photo of people in wintry coats around a table inside of a white tent with some lights, it looks like. And there's something on the table. I'm not sure if those are cups or trophies or just small things. I'm not sure what they are. The photo is provided. Congratulations to them. Questions, comments, suggestions, you can always email Jim Rosso at JROSSOW@newsgazette.com. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, is a young woman's hair worth $25,000? That is a question a jury in the LaSalle County Court will have to decide in the case of Mary E. Elias versus Edward Baker, wealthy president of the Baker Brothers Wholesale Grocers of Streeter. Elias asserts Baker took her for a ride one night last summer and after an altercation cut her hair. Then she charged charges that Baker blacked her eyes. In 1975, Champaign County Sheriff Everett Hedrick has filed charges against 4 of the 7 deputies who testified against him before a grand jury in October. The action came after the 4 refused last week to take lie detector tests ordered by Hedrick. Steve Davis, Henry Froling, John Mum, and Steve Zook were among 7 deputies who accused Hedrick of mismanagement of the sheriff's office. In 2010, local educators told of increased class sizes, unprecedented layoffs, transportation budgets in the red, and cuts to early childhood programs, all problems caused by cuts in state funding for education and delays in payments from the state at the last of 6 statewide budget hearings. That was 2010. International history, today's highlight. On December 2nd, 1982, in the first operation of its kind, doctors at the University of Utah Medical Center implanted a permanent artificial heart in the chest of Barney Clark, a retired dentist who lived 112 days with the device. On this date, in 1804, Napoleon crowned himself Emperor of France in a coronation ceremony at Notre Dame de Paris Cathedral. That was 1804, and in 1823, President James Monroe outlined his doctrine opposing further European expansion or colonialism in the Western Hemisphere. The Monroe Doctrine effectively created separate spheres of influence for the Americans and Europe. The next headline reads, Illinois Economic Policy Institute report. Trump cuts could shrink state economy by $10 billion. Cuts target Medicaid, infrastructure, and all levels of education. This article is written by Ben Zielinski at news@capitalnewsillinois.com. Recent cuts by President Donald Trump's administration could reduce the size of Illinois' economy by nearly $10 billion each year, according to a news report released Monday by the Illinois Economic Policy Institute. The report offers a detailed look at the effects of cuts enacted by Trump through executive order or legislation, directives by federal agency leaders, or through Elon Musk's so-called Department of Government Efficiency. It also, or DOGE, right, D-O-G-E, it also sheds light on how many jobs will not come to fruition because of the cuts. Researchers at the Organized Labor Tide think tank also painted a sobering picture for state lawmakers who are tasked with mitigating the effects of the funding cuts. The depth of economic reductions and job losses caused by federal actions cannot be mitigated by expenditure reductions at the state and local levels, researchers Frank Monzo and Robert Bruno wrote in the report. Policymakers will need to examine new revenue sources to counter the damage done to public schools, Illinois families, and the state's robust economy. By 2029, Bruno and Monzo concluded the cuts will decrease the state's annual gross domestic product by $9.6 billion. The cuts would leave state revenues $540 million below where they would otherwise be and would lead to 86,000 fewer jobs in the state than there would have been without the cuts. Big Beautiful Bill Cuts. The One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the Republican domestic policy plan signed by Trump on July 4th, makes significant changes to Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, and Medicaid eligibility, and ends Affordable Care Act tax credits at the end of the year. The researchers project it will sink Illinois' annual GDP by $5.8 billion and prevent 49,000 jobs. The Medicaid changes could lead hundreds of thousands of people in Illinois to lose coverage because of new work requirements and other restrictions, resulting in economic activity declining by $4 billion each year. The state will feel impacts beyond social service cuts, too. Phasing out clean energy tax credits, pausing Chicago area transit projects, and freezing funding for energy projects will eliminate construction jobs for blue-collar tradespeople that would have been covered by prevailing wage standards and registered apprenticeship requirements, undermining the goal of making America skilled again that has been advanced by the Trump administration, the report said. The clean energy tax credits would have been especially impactful in rural areas where there is more space for wind and solar projects, the report noted. Those losses are set to decrease GDP. I believe that's gross development. Let's see. GDP. gross development project by $2 billion and prevent $22,000 in construction, or sorry, 22,000 construction jobs. Targeted cuts. Illinois, a blue state that has dealt Trump three double-digit electoral defeats since 2016, has also seen some cuts explicitly dictated by federal agencies. Trump's budget director announced in early October that the administration was freezing $2.1 billion in funding for Chicago transit infrastructure projects to ensure funding is not flowing via race-based contracting. The decision pulled funding for the Chicago Transit Authority's plan to extend the Red Line more than five additional miles from 95th Street to 130th Street. Construction was scheduled to begin next year. Funding for a Purple Line modernization project to rehabilitate the line between the Belmont stop in Chicago and Linden Terminus in Evanston is also frozen. Cutting funding for the project could jeopardize 16,000 jobs, according to the report. DOGE cuts. Other federal cuts pursued by the DOGE, D-O-G-E, or the Department of Government Efficiency, which Reuters reported last week has been disbanded earlier than expected, could have a $1.4 billion impact on annual GDP and leave the state with 3,000 fewer jobs, mostly in the private sector. One of the hardest hit areas is infectious disease prevention by the Illinois Department of Public Health, where the state could lose $112.3 million in economic activity. But education, from kindergarten through college, could be hit even harder with a combined impact of $547.4 million in lost economic activity. That's $547.4 million. Multiple federal agencies have put limits on reimbursement for research conducted at universities, while many K-12 public schools could see less funding, resulting in fewer after-school programs, mental health services, and teaching positions. By slashing funding for disease control and prevention, forcing colleges and universities to cover a larger share of indirect research costs, reducing funds for public school districts, and mandating a higher cost share to administer food assistance, recent and proposed federal actions will strain Illinois' budget and prevent the state from using taxpayer dollars on more productive public policies, programs, and investments, the report said. Tariffs and executive orders. Federal budget cuts aren't the only areas that could be a drag on economic activity in Illinois. The governor's office released new information last week from some state agencies detailing the effect of tariffs in accordance with Governor J.B. Pritzker's July executive order. Families and businesses will see some of the most significant impacts, according to the reports. According to the Department of Employment Security, the average Illinois household faces $3,400 in increased annual costs, while unemployment claims in Illinois have risen by 16% in the last year. Businesses are also collectively seeing costs rise by $24 billion. Food banks and other hunger alleviation programs are also struggling, not just under the weight of higher grocery prices, but with fewer donations as consumers and businesses cut costs, according to the Department of Human Services. The Department of Public Health also reports that more healthcare organizations are becoming unprofitable because of higher costs. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. And there is one photo that is taken by Jade Aubrey for Capital News Illinois. It's a bunch of people standing outside of a government building in the winter, or it looks like it's cold. Yes, winter. And they all are carrying signs, and it's at a protest, it looks like. Some of them say, impeach Trump, deport Musk. That's the largest one I can read, and there's several others being held up by people. The caption reads, "Protesters hold up signs at a rally outside the Illinois Capitol in January 2025, protesting federal government cuts pushed by President Donald Trump and Elon Musk." The next caption reads, "See you amid the snow." And it's actually three photographs of Champaign-Urbana covered by snow. The caption reads, well, first, at right. "Pedestrians and traffic deal with new snow Monday at 6th and Green on the University of Illinois campus in Champaign." There's another photo that's above. "Snow dusts a student's coonskin cap Monday as he walks by the Swanland Administration Building." And there's a person walking in the snow, and that caption reads, "A pedestrian makes their way Monday along First Street on the University of Illinois campus in Champaign." The next headline reads, out of Danville, "Danville Fire Department, dozens rescued from Churchill Towers fire." This article is written by Jennifer Bailey, who can be reached by email at jbailey@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Danville. 32 residents were rescued from a fire Sunday night at the Vermilion Housing Authority's Churchill Towers in Danville, with at least two hospitalized after the incident. Firefighters were called at 6:40 p.m. to the apartment building at 101 East Seminary Street, north of the Danville Post Office. They arrived to find heavy smoke coming from multiple windows on the fourth and fifth floors of the high-rise. Firefighters also identified multiple residents at their windows who were unable to leave the building due to smoke. Firefighters and police executed multiple coordinated rescues, removing a total of 32 residents from the upper floors. Crews completed two rescues using an aerial ladder, while others were made through interior stairwells during suppression and search operations, according to fire department officials. Multiple ambulance services assisted with on-scene medical care and transport. Housing Authority Executive Director Jacqueline Vinson said 48 of the building's 49 units were occupied, so the fire department had to move a lot of people. "We relocated all but four families to temporary accommodations," she said. At least two victims remain hospitalized. Their conditions were unknown. Vinson said the state fire marshal's office is investigating, but it appears the fire started with ignition on a recliner, possibly with a resident smoking in the chair. She said that luckily the fire was contained to one unit, with some smoke damage to a common area. No damage estimates are yet available, Vinson said. The apartment complex houses public housing residents. It's managed by the Vermilion Housing Authority, VHA, and is eligible for low-income families, elderly people, and those with disabilities. In addition to the Danville Police and Firefighters and Danville Mass Transit, other agencies that assisted in the efforts included Carl Ambulance, Advanced Medical Transport, Tilton Ambulance, Bismarck Ambulance, Georgetown Ambulance, and the 911 Communications Center. There's one photograph that accompanies this article, and it's of a large ladder that is being, that's out of a fire truck, and it's at a top floor of the building, or it's at a window at a top floor of the building. Looks like there's about four floors. The caption reads, "Danville firefighters respond to a fire at the public housing complex Churchill Towers at 101 East Seminary Street on Sunday night." That is a CIMG photo. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, December 2nd, 2025. It's always a pleasure to read with you. I'll return shortly to read part two of today's paper, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful day.